This is Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. For today, we shall take a look into the palm oil sector. Palm oil, currently the fourth largest contributor to the Malaysian economy, is one of the main pillars of our economy. And this has contributed significantly towards providing continuous inflow of export earnings by exporting raw commodity and value-added products to the global market. Now, our exports continue to show remarkable growth despite the COVID-19 pandemic, and prior to the issues of the Ukraine war and following it, the item of growing exports still is going strong. Now, in March this year, Malaysia's palm oil export rose between 6.7% and 7.4% from the prior month as shipments to China and India has picked up. According to data cargo surveyors. Now, in May this year, the minister sector says that Malaysia's production and exports of palm oil are expected to rise 30% by the end of this year alone. Amid increased demand when neighbouring countries, especially that of Indonesia, temporarily banned their exports recently. However, there are major issues and challenges that are faced by our palm oil industry, and we still have to think about sustainability, health and labour issues, all of which has slowed down the penetration of the palm oil industry in major markets, especially that in Europe. Now, how do we ensure that sustenance of Malaysia's palm oil in the global market continues strong and at the same time trying to sustain our current situation in the markets? This, I am very pleased to invite Puan Wan Aisyah Wan Hamid, the CEO of MPOC, or the Malaysian Palm Oil Council, to the studio to share with us some of the ideas and insights of the industry. Welcome to the studio, Wan Aisyah. Let's talk a little bit more about how do we think about sustaining the presence of our palm oil in the global markets.
Well, I think the issue of sustaining is like the demand for palm oil overall. I think let's look at something pertaining to factual. There's increase in populations of the world. And today, if we look at about now, I think statistically, there's about 8 billion people. According to some researcher and the scientist that is actually looking at food supply, sustainable food security, I think with the population of 8 billion, let's look at it from that angle, the requirements for energy to sustain life is about 6 trillion calories. Mm. Of that, there is a composition of fats, carbohydrates, as well as protein. Mm-hmm. So that composition of fats is about 40%, and fats and oil. So therefore, the demand will always be there and the population increase, whether the world will be producing enough. So let's put all the oils together. We have rapeseed oil, sunflower oil, we have a corn oil, we have soya bean and palm oil. So all those oil has its own application. I think today, like you said, sustenance, I mean, due to the pandemic, there was a supply chain disruptions. Mm-hmm. But the requirements of oils are there, oil and fats. And today, if you look at the price, it's just showing that the supply of oil is inadequate and the demand is very high. Coupled with the Ukraine and Russia, the conflict. And if you look, Russia and Ukraine mm-hmm. produce 80% of the sunflower oil. Mm-hmm. Therefore, there's a total shortage of oil and fat. But each country will already have their own kind of stockpile mm-hmm. because it's of food security. So coming back to palm oil, the demand is there. I mean, if you mentioned China with that population, India, all required that. And most of them do not produce enough. Therefore, Indonesia, Malaysia is the biggest supplier of palm oil. We are number two. Mm-hmm. So out of that requirements, and you mentioned Indonesia recently, restrict export because they would like the oil for their domestic consumptions to be enough. Mm. And that halt a lot more things. And that pressure, you see the price has gone up so high and the demand. So coming back to Malaysia, I think there is no issue of getting that market to sell our oil. That's simply not enough. So the issue of sustainability, issue of deforestation, NDPE, and the goodness of palm oil. I mean, there's a lot of negative narrative with respect to palm oil itself. I think this whole issue is so broad because certain angle is being taken by the European, the Americans on forced labor. So, but let's look at it. This oil, in terms of food security, is important. So today, after the post-pandemic and all that, the revenue to the country in terms of export value is very high, 102 billion. Yes, it's generating and it's very key to the whole GDP of Malaysia, the fourth. So I think agro-commodity as a whole is very important that the government should actually put all efforts in here. So, okay, let's look at how MPOC, i.e. the whole industry players and agencies are going to actually address the whole spectrum of issue. There's no issue on selling the oil. There's market for it and everything, and the price and the pressure. Now, talk about food security. Beside what has been happening, first, you talk about deforestation. This has been an acceptable, I mean, you need to balance between, you know, the production of food and that is affecting climate change and that is affecting, in terms of labour, equitable and everything. So how Malaysia is actually positioning ourselves since before? First, we need to actually address the notion that palm oil is no good.
Okay.
Yeah, that has been like the narrative. So I think both, there's the issue of, in a way, market protection, political. Let's look at this oil. Palm oil is not seed oil. Palm oil that actually been planted that is good around the equator, which is 10 degrees up, 10 degrees down, it produces a lot of oil. For 1 hectare, it can produce more than 5 to 9 times like any soft oil. So therefore, we could, and it's actually not seasonal. We actually produce the oil. So, but it has its own application. So that narrative is palm oil no good. It has trans fat and saturated, unsaturated fat. It's all myth. The truth is, I mean, we just need to have and to get this out, that palm oil is a very stable oil. It has a lot of nutrition, like any other oil, of course. I mean, God gave crops as his own goodness. It's just per application. So palm oil actually withstand very high heat for cooking. It doesn't lose its characteristic and its goodness. So it's full of vitamin E. It has high vitamin A content. It has in its own tricotrienol, which is all good for the eyes, for this, for me. I mean, we are now in the campaign of telling the world, look, palm oil or Malaysian palm oil specifically is full of goodness. It's sustainable. It's actually been scrutinized by the world in terms of production of oil, unlike maybe perhaps soybean and others, that we have been accused of many things. Forced labor, we have been accused of child labor, I mean, related to all this issue of ILO in terms of... Everything that is there, and the deforestation issue and all that. So, first, we are going to tell the world in our campaign of Malaysian palm oil full of goodness, all the characteristics, whatever that have been said is a myth, but you just need to bring it forth to the market. How do you actually tell the market? So what the agency has been doing with the minister recently when the market opens, we have been going around on the consumer level as well, while we are also addressing the issue on the two main issues. Coming from the United States, it's always talking about forced labor issue. We get WRO, you know, that our shipment, like Sime Darby, FGV, being stopped, just pertaining to something that they said that we're actually using forced labor, child labor maybe. So that we have to address. So the way Malaysia is addressing it now, before, we have certification. in 2013, there's a voluntary certification that is MSBO. Mm-hmm. I mean, there is the acceptable, like RSBO, the Roundtable Certification, is actually already there, but we are now coming very forceful in getting everything compliance to NDPE, which is non-deforestation, peat, as well as exploitation. So we have incorporated everything in there in our Malaysian sustainable palm oil. I know Indonesia has its own ISPO, but very happy to say that Malaysia has put in all the clauses, I mean, related to deforestation and DPE inside, as well as now incorporating that forced labour. So therefore, with the demand of oil and the requirements and all that, Malaysia has taken a very, very good steps right from the very beginning. I think we 2013. Today, if you look at MPOB, we are the market. MPOC is the marketing arm, market development. MPOB is the licensing, the research. We have gone so far since the years we started planting palm oil. So therefore, I would proudly say that Malaysia has done its best. Our oil is good. Whatever has been, you know, said about our, you know, way of doing things. In fact, if you look at the acquisition of deforestation, Malaysia, in terms of the forest cover, we are like 55%, much better than any. Just by statistic, we could actually plan and plant another 700,000 hectares. But we have our own issue pertaining to that because land and all that are state matter. Okay, so today, with all the things that we have put in place together with MPOB, with respect to licensing, with respect to regulations, MPOC doing the marketing and telling the world, I mean, all the goodness that we are in compliance, we are penetrating all the markets. As I started telling you, selling the oil is of no problem. The third portion of it is the certification. So if you look at this industry, we have gone from there to all the way, and it's full of goodness and we are in compliance. One day, when technology now, you know, traceability is part of MSPO, and then the 2.0 MSPO incorporating everything, and also we can go to the site that is, you know, traceable from the small planters, including the large, big industry players are all in compliance. Some of them is also in compliance with RSPO. You see, when all compliance of RSPO, then you get a better pricing. So coming to look at all that, the industry players together with all the smallholders, everyone, the refiners up to today, I think according to MPOB statistic, we are about 93.7% compliance. So that's a big thing to say. Now, how do we get this MSPO to be accepted? First, I think we tie in with licensing. Mm. You can't renew your license to plant and blood if you are not compliant. I think the government is helping the smallholders by funding and all that. So I think we just need, MPOC needs to go out. We need all the resources in terms of telling the world. What has been done recently, when the market opens, we have done the MENA region. I think our minister is concentrating first in the Middle East and the North Africa. So just that market, we don't even have enough oil to sell. Particularly during the pandemic, we lost the labor. I mean, a lot of us, we are so dependent on Indonesian, Bangladesh. So that loss of labor means a lot of the fruits is actually unharvested. Mm. That loss of fruits unharvested is about 20 billion that I was told in terms of the quantum. So that alone is a lot. So now the government is facing major issue. How do we be to bring back those workers and the industry and all of us, the players, are looking at how do we become less dependent on foreign labours, i.e. perhaps mechanisation. I think a lot of works, a lot of research, a lot of is being done by MPOB and the players themselves coming into actually everything except for menurunkan buah tu. That portion that we need to look at, how do we get that mechanized? I think just talk about that part of the research, as I told you, selling of oil is of no problem. All the negative narrative could be, and we are going to tell the world the myth versus facts and how good palm oil is like any other oil. We talk about how do we actually expand. I mean, with the land area that we have already cultivated right now, we should be able to yield better. So, foreign workers, that's already 20% revenue that's not realized during the pandemic itself. And the shock, I mean, the supply chain disruptions and all that. So, let's go mechanization. How do we actually get this? I think everything, if you look into this industry, has a lot has been done. We are looking at the last part. How do you bring and harvest the fruit without using human? That's the portion. That is very difficult. I think many of our local workers, you know, people who's unemployed are not interested. That's hard labor job.
Let's talk a little bit more about the technology aspect of harvesting fruits. You were talking about the reduction of using labor. We've seen how other sectors have applied the usage of mechanized harvesting or harvesters. We're looking at how IoT or Industrial 4.0 has been used to actually increase crop yield. We've also seen how the ability for us to reduce the usage of water, for instance, or land in terms of improving productivity at these palm oil plantations. Do you feel that the situation is actually quite interesting when it comes to the development of the palm oil sector, when it comes to the usage of technology?
Okay, as I just continuing what I was saying, I think we, as one of the biggest producer of palm oil, there will not be other people or labs are actually looking how to handle this. All of the other part of that mechanization in terms of you know, identifying all the fruits and where to harvest is are all already automated, just to bring down the fruits. I think beside we just launched through MPOB the MarCop, which is the mechanization of the whole chain of work in terms of the plantation management. So today with MPOB and all the big players like Sime Darby, FGV, KLK, you get United Plantations, and they are all working together. I mean, each of them, like Sime Darby, has his own lab, while we are actually looking at really whether at one time, maybe 3, 4, 5 years down the road, we can actually have a robotic, you know, manpower to handle that. But of course, this will all be the cost factors and everything, but this is what we are actually working on. The industry as a whole, the government, and we are looking at in 5 years' time to be not dependent on foreign labor. Unlike Indonesia, of course, they have about 300 more million people. They have enough labor. Therefore, there's differential in costing. We are a bit more costly because of that components. So the price of oil and fats, of course, is the price issue. But nevertheless, beside the price issue, with the shortage of everything, I think there will be market for everybody. So now you just talk about everything from compliance to environment to everything. I think to actually conclude everything, we have been doing our best, and in terms of market, in terms of revenue to the country, inshallah, I think it will actually keep on growing, pending whatever price that may be in the market. what we need to do is improve ourselves in terms of everything: yield, cost of production, increase mechanization, because to increase more land to plant is quite difficult now, even though we still do have that leeway. So like yesterday we have a market forum, it says like, what are we putting in? I mean, we just, what we have today, we could produce more, both in terms of yield. I think MPOB as a research arm has done fantastic in terms of coming out with new seeding and getting better yield out of that. But the process itself, we have to look at it from all, from the FFB and how you press it at the millers, a better yield, therefore to the refiners and all those downstream. So what I'm trying to say is, I think with the land area that we have, better mechanization, better everything in terms of the scientific application, we could actually get more. So beside the difficulties in terms of labor issue, we should look at going downstream. I think what the government need to assist in this market, because it's like, it's a big contributor to the economy. So I think what the government needs to look, I mean, you got to look at this goose that lay the golden egg. I mean, we talk about technology, we talk about Malaysia going 5G, 6G, we talk about that investment. I think in the end, with the world population, the shortage of basic food and food security going forward, the government needs to really look at this and, I mean, offer everything, all the assistance and whatever for us to go beyond. Therefore, I mean, there is, as you said, you were a banker before, there's a barrier to entry. You want to go into oleochemicals, there's a lot of investment. Mm-hmm. We have, that is where it is. I mean, the applications of the stearine, the byproducts from palm oil is all your toiletries, your soap, your even margarine shortening, it is actually going down. That we have a very, very unique characteristic. Palm oil solidify at certain temperature. So that characteristic, therefore, we do not need to genetically modify GMO. No, it's all pure. You could use that for other application downstream. Mm. So the downstream barrier we need to bring down, which means, like now, we have been going around. There are many countries, especially the MENA region. We look at Cairo. We look at Egypt. We look at Saudi. We look at... They are all keen to come and invest with us. Either you come in and invest in Malaysia for building factories for downstream, or we go and work with them. I think we are working very, very closely now that we are concentrating just within that region. There's simply not enough oil. But, I mean, we need to actually go in and really look at this and prioritize. As it said, like, India is so many population, their eating patterns are just like us. You know, frying, things like that, besides goreng pisang, pakora. They need a lot of oil. And the price of oil has shot up. So that's not good economically for any country. So is President Jokowi. So that's why he halt export in order to bring the price down for edible oil. But what that measure actually has negative impact for the supply of oil worldwide. You get the Ukraine war, everybody. Now, we just came back from Europe. Firstly, we visited America to address, together with the minister, the WRO issue, the forced labour. The shipment has been stopped in America, so we are looking at that as well. We went to the UK and look at the whole issue of sustainability. And now, if you look at Europe today, because they're so dependent on sunflower oil, the shelves are empty. So they are limiting people from buying the oil at, you know, because there's a shortage of supply. Mm. Today, the oil is so expensive. Mm. So, Carl, if you look at the smallholders today, those who have 5 acres and whatnot, the palm oil is like gold. So everybody is driving new cars and whatnot. It's good for the smallholders. We have about 450,000 smallholders. And as you know, backtrack a little bit, in 1970s when Arwah Tun Razak started this. That was a good move. That's been recognized worldwide. Not just we actually, not like at poverty, we give all the works and it's good for the economy. That from there until today, we have done so well. So what we need to do is looking all the way back for sustainability as what you started. Sustainability in everything. So the planet's not going to expand. There will be people be increasing, 8 billion people perhaps in 2015. We were looking at maybe 12 billion people. The same planet, the same space, talking about deforestation, no, carbon dioxide emission, climate change. How do we share that? And where's the food coming from? So therefore, it's the part, the contributions of oil and fats is very high. So we need to concentrate this sector of the economy moving forward. Yes.
Final word before we terminate or we conclude this conversation?
Final word. I wish that everybody, Malaysian, realize these commodities beside not just palm oil or our agro commodity, be it rubber, be it timber, you know, everything from the utilization of the land is key to the economic sector. So I wish that perhaps the government put more efforts in developing all these, including the downstream applications with the amount of, you know, the land that we need, we can cultivate. So with MSPO in place, we're going to have it accepted worldwide. Therefore, when there's traceability using blockchain, the issue of NDPA will be of no issue. But again, all the negative narrative needs to be addressed. And with facts, whatever they've been saying is just myth.
Fantastic. That was our conversation with the Malaysia Palm Oil Council, or MPOC, Wan Aisyah Wan Hamid. Until then, thanks very much for watching and have a good week ahead.